We're holding on Dalet Omid Bey's six lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about, we got into a discussion about Gadta by way of, so that we had been, the Gemara had told us that we know we have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, Yeroa calls Churcha, you have to appear in front of Hashem's presence in this mikdash, and we said there's a double meaning of it, Yeroa, that you are going to be seen, and also Yireh, that you see Elokus there in the Bes Mikdash. So that led us to the Gemara had said Rav Huna would cry over that when he considered how, on the one hand, to begin with, Hashem was so eager to see us and be seen by us in the Bes Mikdash, and then later on, when the Jewish people were doing Averis, then he tells them through the Navi Yeshaya that I don't want to see you in the Bes Mikdash. And then that led us into a few other ones where different Amoraim cried over the implications of different psukim about what we learned from them about the Yom HaDin and about other things. So here's another one. Rav Yosef kimoti lahai kra bochi. When Rav Yosef would reach the following pasuk in Mishle, he would cry. The pasuk says v'yesh nisbe b'loy mishpat. You can have a person who is removed. Nispe means like his life is over. He's removed. He's taken away. Beloy mishpat, without justice. So he would cry over the implication of that you have that a person passes away. Even though there's nothing that even though they hadn't done anything that deserve, or at least not anything of the caliber that would deserve that they should be dying. Rashi says, "Yesh kolavein oven biyada." You have a person who goes away from the world, even though there was no aveira in his hand. Justice doesn't seem to have required him to have passed away. So Rabbi Yosef would cry over the implication of that. The Gemara says, "Omar." So he would say, although Tosfos takes out the word "Omar," it's not Rabbi Yosef saying this. This is the stomach of Gemara asking, does that really happen that a person passes away without their time being up, or without averus that would warrant it or whatever? Does it happen in fact that a person passes away not in their time, not in the time that Hashem determined for them? And the answer is Ain, yes. He holded a Bibi Barabaya, as we have the example of the Bibi Barabaya. We've mentioned before that the Shalach Kaddish says that the name is not Bibi, but Bevai. But anyway, have a Shchiach Gabe Malachamavis. The Malachamavis used to regularly visit him. Now, there is actually a Gemara in Brachos that says that this same Bibi Barabaya one time did something in order to be able to see Shadim, and then he actually saw them and was frightened out of his wits. So a number of the Rishonim relate that to here also. Rabbi Hananel, for example, says that Rabbibi himself, he was involved in seeing Shadim, and therefore he saw it in this way, and not necessarily is the Gemara taking, not necessarily are we taking everything that he says here as necessarily being the facts, because in other words, Rabbi Hananel was saying like he might have seen it in a dream or imagined it in this state where he was seeing Shadim or whatever. But anyway, the Gemara tells the story. So the Malach HaMavis used to regularly visit him. We have here and there in the Gemara where it says that the Malach HaMavis was friendly with certain Chachamim. We had at the end of Moed Katan, for example, where it says there that Rava was friendly with him. Anyway, so Amalei L'Shluchei, one time the Malach HaMavis said to his messenger, Zil Aisili Miriam Megadla Seir Nishaya, go bring me, it's time for her to pass away, Miriam, the one who braids women's hair. Also, isolate Miriam Megadla Dardiki. Instead, he brought a Miriam Megadla, but instead of Megadla, the word Megadla in Aramaic has two meanings. It can mean to braid, and it can mean to raise. So he was asking for Miriam Megadla Sayer, the one who braids women's hair, and instead, he brought a Miriam Megadla Dardiki, the one who raises children, Miriam the babysitter. Tosfos mentions, by the way, that elsewhere there's a different Gemara that says that this Miriam Megadla Nishaya is the mother of Oser Ish. Now Oser Ish was several hundred years before the Bibi Barabaya, so therefore it would have to mean that the Malach HaMavis is not telling the Bibi Barabaya something that happened recently. He's telling him an example of something that happened several hundred years ago. On the other hand, Tosfos says in Shabbos that maybe there's a different Miriam Megadla Nishaya. Anyway. So there's the shliach of the Malach HaMavis, in short, brought him the wrong one. Omalei, so the Malach HaMavah says, what do you do? I know Miriam Gadla Seir Neshaya Amilach. I told you to bring me Miriam the hairdresser. Omalei, so the Shliach says, Yehoch Yahadra. Okay, then I'm sorry, I made a mistake. In that case, let me return her. Let me restore her neshama. Now, how is he supposed to restore her neshama after she died? So there's a pirush here on Masechet Chagiga from Rabbi Tzalel Ashkenazi, the Shita Mekubetzes. So he says, since it was very recent that she had passed away, and it was just a mistake, it would be relatively easy to restore her neshama to her. In other words, the people around her would just see it as, you know, she had gone into a coma or something. They wouldn't realize that it was actual Tchias HaMeisim over here. Omalei, but the Malach HaMavah says to his shliach, no, hoyo v'aisisa, since already you brought her lahevi l'minyana, so let her just join in the count of Mesim. In other words, you don't bring her neshama back to her. Most of the Mephoshim understand that it's not, he's saying that she'll take the place of Miriam Megadla Seir Neshaya. If it's Miriam Megadla Seir Neshaya's time to die, then the fact that the Malach HaMavah got some, or his shliach got somebody else, is not going to save her. So most of the Mephoshim say it just means, in other words, okay, so I'll have an extra one over here. But you still have to go back and do your original job. So the Malach HaMavah asks his shliach, Ela Heichi Yechaltala, how were you able to get her b'chlal if it wasn't her time to die yet? So the shliach describes having a nikita misara biyada. She was holding a poker in her hand to poke around and then move around the coals in the fire. Vahavas kashagra machawya tanura. She was firing up and sweeping out the oven. Shakalta, at one point, she took this poker, va'anachta agaba dekara, and by mistake, she put it on top of her foot. Kadcha, so her foot got burnt. V'itra mazla, and therefore her mazel was ruined, because once a person is in danger, then the kitra gan them milamayla, and therefore it's more likely for them to pass away from that. Vaisisa, and therefore the shliach says that way I was able to bring her even, and that way I was able to bring her. So now omalei Rabbi Barabaya said Rabbi Barabaya says to the Malach HaMavah, Islachu Rishus Lamevad Hochi. Since when do you have permission to do something like that? Doesn't whether a person dies or not is Hashem's decision, not yours. Omalei, so the Malach HaMavah answers him, Veloi Ksiv V'yesh Nisba V'lei Mishpat. Nu, what about, didn't we say before, you have this pasuk, V'yesh Nisba V'lei Mishpat. Sometimes you have a person is removed without Mishpat. Now, obviously, ultimately, it all depends on Hashem's decision. So when we say over here, Veloi Mishpat, we don't literally mean, the Gemara, first of all, again, Rabbi Hananel says that we're not necessarily relying on all of this that Rabbi Barabaya is saying, because he may have seen it in a dream, or he may have seen it in one of these states where he's seeing Shadim and getting frightened out of his wits by them. But since the Gemara tells the story, so we have to understand, of course, everything is in Hashem's hand. What it means is sometimes you have these things that happen where we can't find, from our point of view, there's no mishpat, we can't find any logical reason why Hashem would have done it. So to us, it looks like something random. It looks like it was just something that the Malach HaMavah took advantage of the situation, like in this case. But really, of course, there is mishpat. It's just a mishpat far beyond our understanding. So this Miriam Megadla, this Miriam Megadla Dardiki, in other words, there would have been some Aveiro or other that she did. Maybe not from the way we look at it, it wouldn't be enough for her to die because of that, because it's just a minor thing that just she burnt her foot with a hot poker. But in Hashem's judgment, that was enough, and therefore Hashem makes it look as though it was something random, as though it was just that the shliach and the Malach HaMavah did the wrong thing. Anyway, so Omalei, so Rabbi Barabaya says to the Malach HaMavah, okay, you have a pasuk yesh nisba b'lei mishpat, but v'hoksiv, don't you have a pasuk that says dur holich v'dur ba, a generation goes and a generation comes. In other words, that each generation has to live out its full time. So, and here you don't have, because here she passed away before the expected time. So the Malach HaMavah answers, Omar, so the Malach HaMavah answers, Dira'inu lehu ana, in that case, something like this, Miriam Megadla Dardiki, I take care of her. Dira'inu lehu ana, I take care of such neshamas, ad demolu lehu ledora, until the dur is completed, until the time when, by rights, when under normal circumstances, they would have passed away, and then I give over those neshamas to Duma, who is the shomer of the neshamas. there's different places where it says in particular that Duma is the Malach of Gehenna. So in other words, the Malach HaMavis is saying such people, their neshamas are floating around, neither here nor there for a while. Eventually, when their time is up, then they go through whatever it is they had to go through after they pass away, Gan Eden or Gehenna, well, Gehenna and eventually Gan Eden, or directly Gan Eden, as the case may be. Marsha says, by the way, that this is what the Pasuk means. We have the Pasuk in Halal, Loi HaMesim Yehalalukha V'loi Ko Yode Duma. We're talking about two different groups. You have the Mesim, like you have this Miriam the Gadla Dardiki over here, whose neshamas are floating around under the care of the Malach HaMavis for a while. And then eventually you have Yode Duma, the ones who the Malach HaMavis hands over to Duma, and they serve their spell in Gehenna. So we're saying that neither one of them is able to praise Hashem, but we who are alive are able to. So it's two different groups of neshamas. Omalei, said Rabbi Barabaya, asked the Malach HaMavis, soif, soif, shnei my abdus. So new, after all, you have the years that this person was supposed to have lived. What happens to those years? You can say that, fine, as long as the neshama is floating around before it goes to Duma, then you can call it still part of the dur. But after all, there was a certain number of years that Hashem had determined that this person is going to live. What happens to those years? Omar, so the Malach HaMavis answers, if there is a young Talmid Chacham living at that time who is Mavri B'milei, who's willing to overlook Mavri Amidosta, who's willing to overlook when people insult him or cause him trouble or whatever, then I take those years that were removed from somebody like Miriam Magadla Dowdiki and I give them to him, and that way he makes up for her. So those years don't, in fact, end up going to waste. Tosfos points out that actually there's a Gemara in Yevamos, we're going to get to it there in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that talks about, the Gemara discusses over there, an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says a person never gets any more years than Hashem originally gave to them. The Gemara discusses over there about Chizkiyahu, where the Navi told him you're going to live 15 more years. Does that mean originally he was going to live those 15 years and then Hashem was going to take it away from him and now Hashem restored it? Or the other Chachamim argue and say over there that it means that Hashem actually added him years that he wouldn't otherwise have had. So Tosfos says, our Gemara over here doesn't seem to fit, according to Rabbi Akiva. So again, of course, Rabbi Hananel would say that, listen, what our Gemara is saying is not the last word on the subject anyway. This is something that Rabbi Barabaya saw in a dream or hallucination or something. Other Mephoshim point out, among others, the Shittim HaKobetzah says, one possibility, given that Chizkiyahu was a king, he couldn't be Mavir Amidosav. So therefore, he wouldn't be in the category of the Talmid Chacham, who the Gemara is saying over here would be given those extra years. So therefore, necessarily, Rabbi Akiva says, he had to have been given only years that were already destined for him in the first place, because a king, after all, can't be Merchel on his covered, as opposed to everybody else could be, and therefore we're saying they would get those extra years. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan ki moti lahai krab bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan we're continuing on this topic of the various chachamim who would cry when they read certain psukim because of the implications of those psukim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ki moti lahai krab bachi. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach the following pasuk, he would cry. The pasuk says in Eov, the Satan has convinced Hashem to allow him to test Eov, and Eov lost his children and his possessions and everything, and he still has bitachon in Hashem. And then a few psukim later, it says Hashem is telling the Satan, it's anew, what do you think now? But you incited me against him to swallow him up for nothing. And the Satan argues back. He says, okay, but you haven't harmed Eov on his body. You do that, and then he'll talk differently. And then all the dialogues of Sefer Eov begin. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan would cry over the implication of that passage. Eved should rabbi misisim loivanissus. When you have a servant whose master can be incited against him and the master is willing to listen to that incitement and actually go against him, even though, as the pasuk is saying, chinam, on the face of it, it's like for nothing, Takona Yeshloi. What's that Eved supposed to do if his own master has been turned against him? What do you mean Chinam? By the way, I mean the Gemara tells us in Sota and in other places that Eov was one of the advisors of Paroi, and when Paroi wanted to oppress the Jewish people, then Eov was quiet, and therefore he ended up being punished with Yisuri. So in fact, there's a different. Now, one answer is we're talking here according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara in Baba Basra brings a half a dozen different opinions when Eov lived. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion over there is that Eov was actually at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. So according to that, Rabbi Yochanan would say, well, then Eov was not one of the advisors of Pare, because that was 1,000 years earlier. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would come out, in other words, that Eov was being persecuted on the face of it unjustly. Again, Hashem has his chashbonus that we don't understand, but from our point of view, it looks like chinam, it looks like Hashem is doing it for nothing, just in order to harass him, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would cry over the implication of that, that even a person who hasn't done Averus, still Hashem can, so to speak, have it in for him. Another one, Rabbi Yochanan ki moti lahai krab bochi, another one, Rabbi Yochanan would cry when he reached the following pasuk, hein b'kdosh of lo yamin. Another pasuk, also in Eov, says Hashem doesn't believe, Hashem doesn't trust in His holy ones. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, "Ibik doresh of layamin b'man yamin." Well, if Hashem doesn't even trust His holy ones, tzaddikim, who does He trust? So he was crying over the implication of that. It sounds like Hashem doesn't trust anybody. And how can we say that? Well, yom echad have a ka'ozel be'ucha. One day, Rabbi Yochanan was walking on the road. Chazilahu gavra dava man kiteini. He saw that there was a person who was picking figs. Shovik hanach de matu. He was leaving alone the ones that were already ripe. Veshokel hanach de matu, and he's dafka taking the unripe ones. Omalei, said Rabbi Yochanan, asked him, lav hani malon tvei. Aren't the ripe ones better? Why are you dafka taking the unripe ones? Omalei, so the man explains, hani la urcha be'inim behu. I'm not going to be eating these figs right away. I'm going to be taking them on a trip. So hani notron vahani lo notron. The unripe ones will keep, because on the way, while I'm taking them, they'll ripen, and then later on in the trip, I'll have figs to eat, as opposed to the ones that are already ripe are going to start spoiling soon, and they're not going to keep for the road. Omar, so now Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, now I have a whole different understanding of the pasuk. So now I understand. The pasuk is not saying that Hashem doesn't trust anybody. It's saying Hashem doesn't trust the tzaddikim, that there's more of a concern that they might spoil. So therefore, sometimes, in other words, that you may dafka have a tzaddik may pass away young, because, like you have, for example, with Hanoch, where Hashem sees that there's more of a chance that he's going to go bad, and therefore Hashem takes him away from the world while he's still good, as opposed to regular people who are not on that level, then those Hashem has no reason to worry that they're going to spoil prematurely, and therefore they can live a long life. So again, before he thought it meant that Hashem doesn't trust anybody, that anybody is susceptible to all of a sudden starting to do Averis and dying young. And now we're saying sometimes it's after the tzaddikim that are in that state. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? There was a Talmid Chacham who lived in Rabbi Alexandri's neighborhood, and he passed away when he was young. And Rabbi Alexandri said about him, If that Talmud Chacham had wanted, if he had wanted and he had chosen to act differently, he could have lived longer. Now, if you're telling me that now Rabbi Yochanan's new understanding of the pasuk is the correct one, that davka the tzaddikim, sometimes Hashem makes them pass away young because of that, well, maybe that was the case. In other words, it's not that the Talmud was doing anything wrong, but Hashem was concerned that he might go bad and therefore took him away from the world early. So that doesn't show necessarily that he had a choice in the matter and he could have acted differently. So what is Rabbi Alexandri saying about him? And the answer is, Hahu mevayet b'raboisev hava. Actually, in that case, Rabbi Alexandri saw that this Talmud Chacham knew that he wasn't one of the Kedoshim. He was mevayet b'raboisev, literally means kicking, but in other words, he was disrespecting his Rebbe. And the Rashi brings from a Gemara in Kedushin that says that a person has to have we know that a person has to have moira, you have to have moira for Talmud Chachamim, and that makes that in the schus of that a person lives long. Without that, a person doesn't live long. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Alexandri knew that this Talmud Chacham had been disrespecting his Rebbeim, not standing up for them, and in other ways disrespecting them. So therefore, he says on him, so you know what, he should have known to act differently. He should have realized that he has to have Moira Rabbah, Gemara Shemayim, and then he would have lived longer. So So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan, when he says, Hein b'kadosh lo yamin, is talking about somebody who is in fact a kadosh, where we do see that he's acting properly, and nevertheless, sometimes we see that he passes away young, is because it would be because b'kadosh lo yamin, because Hashem is concerned that he might spoil, that he might spoil, and therefore takes him away from the world. Onward. Another one, Rabbi Yochanan ki moti lahai krob bachi, another pasuk Rabbi Yochanan would cry when he reached. The pasuk says, "Bekaravti aleichem lamishpat." Hashem says, "I will come close to judge you." Vahoyisi aid memaher, and I will be a quick aid. I will be a quick witness. Vamachashvim against those who do black magic. Uvamenoafim and the people who are mezana with an eshesish. Uvanishboim lashoker and the people who swear falsely. Uvoishke schar socher and the ones who withhold the pay for a hired worker. So Rabbi Yochanan would cry over that Hashem is saying, I'm going to quickly come to be a witness against such people. Eved Rabbi Makarvel Ladunai. First of all, a servant who a slave whose master comes close to judge him, and he comes quickly in order to testify against him. Takona Yeshloi. Is there anything that Eved can do to get out of punishment? So in other words, the fact that Hashem himself is saying that I'm going to be the judge and I'm going to be the aid and I'm going to come quickly, that worried Rabbi Yochanan. Marsha relates this to, we have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that who her aid, who are dying, who baldin, who osid lobun. But Marsha says, Rabbi Yochanan realizes that this pasuk is saying that it's not just that Hashem is the dying and is the aid and so forth, but the dying himself is bringing him to justice of the fact that the person sinned against him, the judge himself, against Hashem himself, and that Hashem is hurrying up to go and bring aiders, as opposed to other people, other aiders might say, you know what, I don't need to be in such a hurry, I'm afraid to give aiders or whatever, but Hashem is coming very quickly, so therefore this worries Rabbi Yochanan. And in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Oy lonu, woe to us, sheshokol aleinu akosav talitz kachamuris. We see in this pasuk that Hashem is treating the serious the lighter averus as harshly as the serious averus, because in this pasuk you have serious averus, things that are chayav misa, for example mechashvim and menafim, and then you have a much lighter one, oshke schar socher, is a lav. It's not even a lav that involves malchus, and still the pasuk is putting them all in one breath, implying that Hashem is going to punish equally harshly for all of them. Now, how would that be fair? After all, there are different categories, there are different levels of averus. But one answer is, in fact, we're talking when a person does these things, not, for example, out of greed or whatever, but just because they're doing it in order to deliberately go against Hashem, lahachis, then yes, even the lighter ones are as serious as the heavier ones, because all of them involve a rebellion against Hashem's authority. In this connection, there's a line that Rambam says in Igeres Teiman. He says, you know, you have a Rosha like Yeravam, who was choytu machti as a rabbim and set up the Egle Azahav or whatever. Don't think that Hashem is only going to punish him for the big Averis like that he did. No, also the fact, for example, that he didn't sit in a sukkah on Sukkos, because the pasuk mentions that he moved the Yom of Sukkos to a month later, then Hashem is going to punish him even for that, because Hashem doesn't ignore any Averis. So here we're saying the same thing, in other words, that the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying that Oilonu, that when it comes to disobeying Hashem, a small Aveira is just as bad as a big Aveira, because all of them involve disobedience to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't overlook any of them. The Amar Rish Lakish, in this connection, further, Rish Lakish says, Kol amata dinei shoger, if a person perverts the judgment of a ger. Now, of course, to pervert the judgment of anybody is serious, but for a ger is in a way worse, as we're going to say in a second. It's as if he perverted the judgment of Hashem. In other words, so you have a dayan has a ger in front of him, and he judges the case wrongly, and then ends up making the ger chayav to pay, for example, when he's not. So it's considered as though he did the same thing to Hashem. Shenema, because that same pasuk that we just quoted continues umate ger, and the ones who pervert the ger. And the word umate, we can read umatiksiv, we can read that last that the test not with a tsere, but rather with a chirik, and therefore it means umati, and those who pervert me. So therefore, in other words, so it's hinting at the idea that when a person does that to a ger, it's as if they're perverting, as if they're judging wrong, as if they're judging Hashem wrongly. This is the same way as we had before, Yira and Yira, the same way we can darshan over here, the same way we can darshan over here, umate, as if it said umati. Marsha wonders, why don't we say the same thing by v'oshke schar socher, the same thing, and you could understand it, v'oshki. So in fact, there's an explanation that the difference is, by all the other ones, each of the previous averas, it says a beis there. Vamachashim, uvaminoafim, uvanishvorim lasheker, etc. Whereas here, it doesn't say uvimateger, it says mateger, and therefore the Gemara finds a shlokish finds a reason to darshan it differently. Now, however, though, Omer of Chanina bar Papa, kola oisa davar mischaret boy, when a person does an avera, and then he has charata and feels bad about it and does tshuva, mechlin lemiyad, then Hashem forgives him for it right away. Shenema, because that same pasuk in Malachi continues, v'lo yirei uni, and they didn't fear me. Ho yirei uni, so the implication is Hashem is saying, I'm going to judge and punish these people and testify against them because they did all these averas and did not fear me. So the implication is, ho yirei uni, if they fear me, if they do tshuva, mechlin lehem miyad, then they get forgiven right away. Tosfos points out that on the face of it, how could that apply to all these things we just said? I mean, it could apply to the oshke schar socher, fine, because then it's only a loises. But on the other hand, what about the machashvim and the menachvim and whatever? You have to have the Gemara in Yuma discusses that you have to have, you still have to have yisurim and you have to have other things in order to deal with that. So Tosfos says there can be that the moichlin loy miyad means, in other words, there's moichlin, but it means maybe not a complete mechila, and he still needs to go through a yisurin and so forth. I mean, even with the oshke schar socher, obviously it means that he needs to pay back the socher. But the point is, in other words, once he does that, once he squares things away with the socher, then at that point, all there is left is that he was over on it. He was over on an esser that he should have paid the worker on time. So for an esser, Hashem can forgive him right away. And even for the other Averas, again, like Tosfos is saying, it can mean that there's a partial Mechila. And with each Avera, you have, there's an aspect Ben Adam Lamakim, and there's an aspect Ben Adam Lachavera. So therefore, we're focusing over here on the Ben Adam Lamakim aspect, that Hashem can forgive that right away, because the person does trouble. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan ki moti lahai krob bochi. When Rabbi Yechanan would reach the following Pasuk at the end of Kehelas, then he would also cry over that. The Pasuk says, ki es kol maaseh, everything that a person does, her elakim yobi b'mishpat, Hashem will bring to judgment, al kol ne'elam, for everything that was hidden. In other words, even when a person did something b'shoigig, Hashem is still going to judge him for it. So he would cry over that. Eved sh'rabo shokel izdonet shgogis kizdonet, a slave whose master considers as equally bad when he does something b'shoigig as when he does something b'mezid, takona yeshloi. How is there any way of fixing him up? In other words, he's in deep trouble, because even a shoigig, Hashem takes very seriously. Marsha points out, after all, I mean, first of all, a shogig, there's different kinds of shogig. There's a shogig which is, in a certain sense, kodev l'mezid. For example, you have, you can have, for example, when it comes to the case where a person kills somebody else for shogig, there are various cases where the shogig is kodev l'mezid, and in fact, there are even cases where it's so kodev l'mezid that you can't even send him to the Arei Mikvah, but even when not, in other words, there's a certain degree of carelessness over there. You also have, for example, Marsha says, let's say, a person is shogig in Hilchas Shabbos. Okay, on the one hand, they're shogig, they're not going to be chayiv nisa for it. On the other hand, what are you doing being a shogig? Learn the halachas, and then you won't be a shogig anymore. So therefore, so that's what Rabbi Yechanan was crying and was worried about, that Hashem is treating the shgogas so severely and saying, in other words, that you should have been more careful and you should have learned, rather than just accepting as an excuse that it's a shgogah. So the Gemara says, "My al kol ne'elam." When we continue in the pasuk over there, everything that was hidden, what does that mean? Besides that, we said that it means that it was hidden that he did something b'shoyge. But what is al kol ne'elam? What's everything that was ne'elam, which implies something else? means Omar Rav Zeha Hur Kinum of Nechabere Benimasba. This comes to include if a person kills a louse in front of somebody else and the other person is disgusted by it, so it's a little tiny thing. He might think that the person who did that might think there's no big deal. So big deal, tiny little thing. Nevertheless, Hashem still holds that against him, that he shouldn't have done that in a way that's going to disgust the other person. Shmuel says it means somebody who spits in front of somebody else and the other person is nauseated by it. So also, in other words, it shows a lack of avos Yisrael. So Marsha explains, in other words, that with the louse, for example, he could have just thrown it away. He didn't have to kill it in front of the other guy. And even the spitting, a person has to spit sometimes, he could have spit into his clothing rather than spitting on the floor or something and disgusting and nauseating the other person. So therefore, Shmuel is saying that even that Hashem will hold against the person. My im tov imra, what do we mean? The pasuk finishes off over there. So the whole pasuk goes like this. Kies kol masa, everything that a person does, or the kim yavi b'mishpat, Hashem will bring to judgment, al kol ne'alam, for everything that was hidden, im tov v'imra, whether it was good or whether it was bad. Now, so my im tov v'imra, what does that last phrase mean? It sounds like it means that Hashem is going to judge and punish a person for the good that he did. But why would Hashem punish a person for the good? So therefore, we have to say that it means something where a person does something and there's a certain good in it, but there's also a certain bad in it. Namely, Amid Rabbi Yanai. So they said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, Zahan Noisin Tzedakah La'ani B'Fahesya. This refers to a person who gives tzedakah to a poor person in public and embarrasses him like that. So even though on the one hand he did a good thing, he gave tzedakah, but on the other hand he gave it to the person in public and therefore he embarrassed him. Another one. We have an example of that Rabbi Yanai saw a person giving a zuz to a poor person in public. Amalei tells him, it would have been better if you hadn't given him rather than like this, you gave it to him and you embarrassed him. But pashtus, we're not talking about where the person is begging out in the streets. I mean, then already he's willing to accept tzedakah in public, so that's different. The pashtus we're talking about over here, where the scenario is that he could have given him in private, and instead he chooses to do it in public. There is also an explanation that some Mephoshim have that we're talking about over here only when he's giving him a tiny amount. So he's giving him what, a penny or a quarter or something. It's not really very much anyway. So therefore, like, you know, you're embarrassing him in public. Mashenkin, you're giving him a larger amount, which is something that he can actually use, then maybe it's not so. Then maybe it's a good thing. Then maybe it's a good thing and we're not worried about the busha. Another example of im tov imra. Dvei Rav Shila Amri, in the yeshiva of Rav Shila, they said another example, Zahanosin Tzedakah Le'isha B'Seser. It refers to a person give tzedakah to a woman in secret, D'Kamaisila L'Dechashta. It causes people to suspect her. People all of a sudden see that she has money, and people start suspecting, and then thinking that maybe she got it from improper things. Rava says a third thing. Now, so with all these things, I mean, you know, the Rambam lists in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, the various degrees of tzedakah, among the higher degrees of tzedakah are giving it in a way where, you know, the highest is helping a person find a job or lending him money or whatever. The next highest is you give him in a way that neither the giver nor the recipient know who gave the other one. And then you have levels where you know who you gave, but the other person doesn't know who he received it from, or the other way around, you don't know who you gave to, but the other person knows who you received it from, and so forth. So we're saying over here, though, there's a way a person has to give tzedakah in a way that it's not going to cause problems for the poor person, embarrassment or suspicion, as we're saying over here. Rava Amar, Rava says a third possibility of im tov imra. Zam shagul ishtei baser she'ena mechutach ba'avish abaser. It means when a man sends home to his wife meat on Erev Shabbos that has not been cut up, meaning they didn't take out the chaylev and the gidim and whatever on Erev Shabbos, so she's not going to have the time necessarily to prepare it on Erev Shabbos and make sure. So therefore, so they may end up still accidentally leaving some chaylev or some gidanosha or whatever in there. So therefore, so that's not a good thing. So on the one hand, you did a good thing that Marsha says that afterwards, Erev Shabbos, you're doing it for Sudas Shabbos. But on the other hand, you're doing it in a careless way where she doesn't have enough time to make sure to prepare it properly. So The Gemara says, well, Rava Mashaga, Rava himself, who says that you shouldn't do this, he himself used to do exactly that. He would send meat home to his wife to prepare for Shabbos, and it wasn't yet cleaned out of chaylev and gidim and whatever. The answer is shiny. It's different with the daughter of Rav Chisda, who was Rava's wife. Rava knew that she's bucky and she's expert in taking out all these chaylev and gidim and whatnot, and therefore he could rely that she's going to know how to do it 100%. But not necessarily does everybody else, and therefore Rava is saying everybody else should not learn from his example. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan ki moti lahai krabachi. Here's another pasuk Rabbi Yechanan would cry about. The pasuk says, V'hoya kisim tsena oisei rois rabbis v'tzareis. The pasuk describes how when the Jewish people are beset by many, by rois rabbis v'tzareis, many, many evils and troubles. So kisim tsena is maloshim mitzia, like Hashem makes them be found, Hashem brings them on the people. So he says, Eved Sherabin Mamtila Rois Vitzores, a slave whose master looks to go and bring him Rois and Tzores, Takone Yashloi. Is there anything that he can do to stay out of that trouble? So my Rois Vitzores, what do we mean by Rois Vitzores? The point is, Maharsha says, if it just meant in the simple meaning of Tzores, it would mean, then it would say Rois Vitzores Rabbas. Evils and troubles that are many. Instead, when it says rois rabbis v'tzores, so we understand that v'tzores has a slightly different meaning. So Omer Rav, rois shenasis tzores zulazu. It means that the punishments that we're talking about are evils that become tzores in the sense of rivals to each other. Like a tzora, we're going to learn soon in a couple of weeks in Yevamos, we're going to be talking all about tzores, which means rival wives, co-wives. So the same way over here, the rois become tzores, become rivals to each other. For example, a person who's bitten, a person who's stung by a bee and by a scorpion. So Rashi explains, although the Rashi that we have in front of us for this, it says on the side, is really actually not part of Rashi. It's actually from Tosfos. So in any case, Tosfos says that what it means is like this. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that if you were stung by a bee, the best thing to do is to put cold water on it. On the other hand, if you were stung by a scorpion, the best thing to put on it is hot water. So what happens if a person was bitten by a bee and a scorpion? Then they're stuck. Whichever one they do is going to help one, but it's going to aggravate the other. So that's what we mean, that the rois become tzorois one to another. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Zeham mamtzi lo mois la'oni b'shas doichkoi. This refers to somebody who makes money available to a poor person when he's in desperate straits. Now, what are we referring to? Rashi says this is Shmuel is going back to what we said before, im tov v'im ra. So we had a few different explanations. One of them was a person gives tzedakah to a poor person in public and thereby embarrasses him. Another one is he gives tzedakah to a woman in secret and therefore causes people to suspect that she's getting her money from illicit ways. The third one, we had Rava said that he sends meat home on Erev Shabbos without it being cleaned out of chaylev and gidim properly. So now Rashi says Shmuel is giving us a fourth explanation of im tov v'imra, where he gives money to a poor person when he's desperate. Whereas if he had given him the money beforehand, then he would have been able to buy food more cheaply. Now you're giving it to him when he's already desperate and when prices are higher, and therefore you're not doing him as much good as you would have before. So that's im tov v'imra. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation of Rashi, because Tosfos says, then why did Shmuel wait until now? We finished with that discussion a few lines back. Then we continue with Rav Yechanan as Rois Rabbis Vitzores. Why all of a sudden are we going back to that? So rather, Tosfos explains that, and also Tosfos says, what do you mean? If we're saying Hamamtzi L'mois L'oni B'shas Doichkoi is actually a good thing. Again, you know, the Gemara mentions in Yevamos, we'll learn in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, that such a person is a very great person, that Hashem appreciates such a person and gives him many brachas. So okay, so Tosfos says that, okay, there's a difference between Malva and Mamtzi. He was talking about Mamtzi, like Mois Laani, he makes money available. In other words, like it's available for you for the moment, but I'm going to need it back soon, as opposed to over there, Malva, he lends money to a person when he's desperate. That's a good thing because it's a loan is a more long-term thing. Anyway, Tosfos explains that what we mean over here, this is a continuation, Tosfos says, of the Tzores Rabbis V'Rois. What's an example of Tzores Rabbis V'Rois? Besides what we said about a bee and a scorpion, is also, for example, you have a poor person who, suppose, for example, the government wants to demand a lot of money from him. So like this, he's poor, he wouldn't be able to afford it. So if it were just that, then the government would say, you know what, okay, you don't have money to pay, what are we going to do? You can't squeeze blood out of a stone, so fine, we'll let you go. Meanwhile, what happens? A person comes by and offers to the poor person. He says, you have karka after all, so I'll lend you money and you'll use your karka as security. So now all of a sudden the government says, hey, see, this guy does have money. Let's go take it from him. So now the oni ends up worse off than he was before. So that's the rois rabbis v'tzores. In other words, like this, before he had one problem that the government wanted money from him, and now he has two problems that not only they want the money from him, and he owes money to this other guy as well. Marsha, on the other hand, also relates this to a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, you have the whole sugya about the Churban over there, the whole sugya in Perek HaNizokin, but it's introduced by a Mishnah that talks about a din of Sikrikun, that there were times when there were Goyishe extortionists who would force Jews to give them their fields or their lands, and if not, then they would kill them. And the Gemara mentions that there were several different stages in those Zeris over there. There were times when the Goyim were obligated by law to kill any Jew they came across. There were times when if they killed a Jew, they'd only have to pay a small fine, and so on and so forth. And then eventually you get to the point where the Sikrikun forces the Jew to give him his land, and later on the Jew has the ability, once things have calmed down, to take the Goy to court and get back the field from him. Meanwhile, another Yid goes and buys the field, and that way he makes it worse for the original Yid, because now it's a lot harder for him to get back his original field without paying a lot of money for it. So that's another explanation. Marsha says, "Mamti le'mois lo'ani b'shas do." Omar Rava, so Rava says, "Hainu da amri inchi." This is like the expression people say, "Zuza la alola lo shchicha." When you need a zuz for alola to buy, alola is tvua, to buy grain, lo shchicha, you can't find it. L'tflisa shchiach, but when you need it for tflisa, then it's easy to find. Tflisa, Rashi says, one explanation he brings from his rebbeim means when it goes to waste. So this fits with Rashi's explanation, like you're giving the oni money, but you're giving it to him at a time when prices are higher, and therefore he's getting less for his money. So therefore, when he needed money during the harvest season and he could have bought grain cheaply, then there was none available. Now, when it's going to waste, then all of a sudden there's money available. Rashi's own explanation is that l'tlisa means food, but it means food that you hang in a basket. Tosfos says you don't usually hang food in a basket. Abba the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that can cause a person to become poor. So Tosfos explains that Tlisa means that the Goyim are hanging him and harassing him to pay them, like Tosfos said before. In other words, that the government wants money from him, and they would have been willing to leave him alone because they see he doesn't have any money anyway. And now that all of a sudden he has money because somebody was willing to lend him, then all of a sudden now, so when he's being hanged, then there's money available. So therefore, the proverb says, Rava says, there's no money available to buy grain, but there's money available when the guy is being hanged up and being harassed. And Marsha explains Tlisa means one third, because in that case of Sikrikun over there in Gittin, it talks about that you pay the guy the value of the field minus a discount of one third. But you see this nowadays many times. You see that, for example, you have, you know, they'll start a campaign, a tzedakah campaign, a charity campaign, or whatever, for a person, and people will give, but only when it's in desperate straits like that, not when people don't usually give until the 11th hour. So this is what Rava is saying, this is what the Gemara is saying over here, that's not such a good thing. You should be more proactive about it and give the oni before he gets to that desperate situation. Continues the Gemara, since we quoted the pasuk v'haya kisim tzena oisei rois rabbis v'tzoris, so now the Gemara goes back a pasuk before that. Hashem says, my anger will flare against the Jewish people on that day when they worship Avodah Zarah, and I will abandon them. I will hide my face from them. And the pasuk continues, and they will be eaten up by the Goyim. So Omer Bardla Bar Tavyumi, Omer Rav, kol she'ena behester ponim ena mehem, means that any person who is not subject to this hester ponim, that Hashem hides his face, that Hashem, in other words, that the person is in trouble and he cries out to Hashem and Hashem doesn't answer, a person who's not like that, ena mehem, is not really one of them, is not really one of the Jewish people. Because in Golos, the whole Jewish people are suffering from hester ponim, and if a person is not in that situation, then it means that he's not really a Yid. And the same way, kol she'ena b'vahoya lechol, when you have a person who's not subject to this v'hoya lechol, that the goyim are taking away his money and harassing him, also, ena mehem, he's not really from them, because all Jewish people share in that kind of trouble at one time or another. So the Gemara says, Amr le Rabban on the Rabba, so the Chachamim of Rabba's Yeshiva said to him, Mar loy behest upon him, isay, v'loy b'vahoya lechol, isay. You don't seem to have either of those things. You don't have hest upon him. You daven and Hashem answers you right away, and you don't have v'hoya lechol, the goyim are not harassing you for money. Amalahu, so Rabba tells them, Miyad, itu kamim shadavne v'tzinil v'shabu malka. Do you even have any idea how much money I have to secretly send to the palace of King Shabur, who was the king of Persia and Babel at that time, and he wasn't particularly friendly to Jews? So Rabba is saying, I have to send him all the time. I have to send him bribes in secret to get him to leave me alone. So yes, I very much suffer from hester ponim and from v'hoya lechol. You just don't know about it. But the Gemara says, "Afilu hocha yahavu be rabbanan einayu." Nevertheless, the Chachamim still looked at him, like they still figured, like it doesn't seem right, like something is missing over here. And adahochi, and while that was going on, shodu debe shabur, they sent messengers from the palace of King Shabur, debe shabur malka, begarvuhu, and they took everything that he had. So sure enough, Rabba did really, and they actually saw it. Now the Chachamim saw that he's actually suffering from v'hoya lechol. Omer, so he says, Hainu d'tanya, Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel. This bears out what it says in a braisa that Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Kol mokam shenosnu Chachamim einehem, wherever the Chachamim put their eyes, and here they're not even putting their eyes on him in a hostile way. We find sometimes, you have, for example, a story with Hashbi and Shabbos, and in other places where they looked at somebody angrily, and it caused the person to die. Here it's not even the Chachamim are looking at Rabba angrily, there is Talmidim. They're looking at him like in curiosity, like, is it really true? And nevertheless, oy misa, oy oyni, you see there's either death or poverty over there, and you see that here it came about from it, poverty, that they came from the palace and took everything I had. Tosfos explains that this fits with the Gemara in Brachos. You have the famous story over there where Abaya and Rava had a bunch of dreams, and they went to the same person, Bahedia, to interpret them, and Rava didn't used to pay him, and Abaya did, and therefore he kept on giving good, favorable explanations to Abaya and unfavorable ones to Rava. So one of them is that Bar-Hedia at one point told him that a certain dream of Rava's portends that he's going to lose everything that he has, that the king is going to take away everything he has. So all Gemara is telling us when that actually came true. So Marsha explains that like this, we have by us Jewish people, we have Yisa Hashem Panavei Lacha. So therefore, that Hashem lifts his face and is favorable towards us. So therefore, at a time of Hester Panim, then we have the opposite. As opposed to the Goyim don't go through Hester Panim because they don't have the Yisa Hashem Panavei Lacha in the first place. They don't have that direct connection with Hashem in the first place. And as far as the V'hoya Lechol, again, when we're doing well, when we're doing the right thing, and the Pasuk says, V'ochalta Eskol Ha'amim, you will consume all the nations. So now, when not, then instead we have V'hoya Lechol that we get consumed by them. And he says, well, Osid Lava, you have a Pasuk, which we say in V'yitmacha, V'achaltem Ochel V'savoya. So there you have the double expression of Achila, means, in other words, you're going to have back the original Achila that you were supposed to have, and you're going to have also what the Goyim ate and consumed of yours in Olam Hazeh, that they're going to be giving back in Mashiach's time everything that they took away. The pasuk continues. Va'anochi haster aster ponei bayemahu. The pasuk says. The pasuk continues. Hashem says, "I will surely hide my face on that day." So Omar Rava, Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, afapishi istarti ponei mehem. Even though Hashem says, even though I've hidden my face from them, v'chaloyim adaber boy. Nevertheless, I still speak to the Chachamim in dreams, and I tell them of what's going to be happening so that they can daven about it. Rashi says the diuk is the fact that it says by Yoyim Hahu implies on that day. So Hashem doesn't speak to them by day, but Hashem speaks to them by night in dreams. Marsha says differently. Marsha says, and actually it brings on the side over here from Chilufa Girsois, that what it is Hashem is saying, Ponai, I've hidden my face, so therefore I don't speak to them like the way I spoke to Moshe, Ponim upon him, but nevertheless, I still speak to them in dreams. Rav Yosef, Amon Yodin, Ituya Aleinu, Rav Yosef says, also, even during Golos, even though there's a Hester Ponim, we don't see the Ponim, the Pnimius of Elikus, nevertheless, Hashem's hand is stretched over us to protect us. As the pasuk says, I've covered you with the shadow of my hand. And Marsha explains, in other words, we have, so to speak, during Golos, Hashem's right hand, Kavyachol, is held back. You have the Lashon in Eicha. But nevertheless, Hashem's left hand, Kavyachol, is still there protecting us. The right hand represents Chesed. The left hand represents Gvura. So in other words, we're living in a time of Golos, a time of Gvura. But nevertheless, Hashem is still protecting us. And the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya have a koi bekeser. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, this is the Tana Rabbi Yeshua, was standing in the palace of the emperor. We find in many places in Shas where Rabbi Yeshua used to go and debate with the emperor and with different other important goyim and prove to them the truth of the Torah. So one time he was there. Achve leha hu apikursa, a certain apikurus over there, signaled to him because there was a certain kind of chokhmah they had in those times called chokhmas yevonis that involved a kind of sign language where it was considered like an honorable thing. It was considered like a very sly way of thing of signaling like that and expecting that the other person is going to understand what you say. So he motioned to him with a motion and said, you are a people whose master, who Hashem, has turned his face away from you. So Rabbi Yeshua signaled back to him, no, you're wrong, even though that may be true, his hand is still stretched out over us to protect us. Marsha explains, in other words, that this apikoros, really the word is probably supposed to be min, was actually one of the early Christians, and they had the notion more so than any other goyim that Hashem rejected us Jewish people and replaced us with them. So he, in keeping with that, is saying, "Look at you, Hashem turned his face away from you, and he chose us Christians instead." And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is showing him, "You're wrong. Hashem is still protecting us, and Hashem still has a relationship with us, not like you think that Hashem has rejected us." Marsha refers, by the way, in this connection to the fact that the Romans and their religion come from Esav ultimately, and Esav is Yaakov's brother, and therefore more than any other nation and more than any other religion, they claim to be the second Jewish people because they come from Esav, who was the brother of Yaakov. Anyway, Omar le Kesar Rabbi Yeshua, my Achilah. So the Kesar asked Rabbi Yeshua. He didn't understand what the signaling was. He didn't understand that Chochmas Yevonis, sign language. So he asked Rabbi Yeshua, what did this guy signal to you? And Rabbi Yeshua tells him, he signaled, Amadad Runu Mori La'afimine. He's signaling with his sign language that he thinks that Hashem has turned away his face from us and rejected us. And he says, my obviously. So what did you signal to him? And he says, and I signaled back to him, Yodin Tuya Aleinu, his hand is still stretched out over us. Now they turn to the min and they asked him, so what my achlius lay, what did you signal to him? And he answers, Amadaduna Morimine, that I signaled that Hashem has turned his face away from the Jewish people. And my achliloch, but they asked him, so what did Rabbi Yeshua, what was Rabbi Yeshua's answer? When he signaled back to you, what was he answering? And he says, Lo Yadina. He says, I don't know. I didn't understand what Rabbi Yeshua is signaling. Omru, so they said, Gavra de la Yoda, my machavule, the machag, a person who doesn't know what they're signaling to him with sign language like that, Yechave Kami Malka, how dare he do such sign language in front of the king? It's disrespectful to the king. If you're going to be doing like that sign language, then you have to know what you're saying. Apku v'katlu, so they took him out and executed him because it had for disrespect for the king. There's many, many places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that, for example, this is why during Shemana Esrei, we stand still in front of Hashem because we're directly in front of Hashem, and therefore to be speaking out loud or to be making motions or whatever would be this machvi b'mochad kami malka, and we have to have a total bittul when we're in front of Hashem. On the other hand, there was an interesting thing. There's one place in some place in the Kutta Torah, I think, where the Alter Rebbe makes a connection between the word b'mochog that we're saying over here, the signaling, the sign language, and the word chag, as in a yomtiv, that Hashem allows us to a certain extent, even though we're Hashem's avodim, we're also Hashem's banim, and Hashem allows us to a certain extent to take liberties in front of Him and to make motions and to make noises like the shofar in front of Him, and Hashem appreciates that because we're His children, and therefore from that comes the chag, which of course is the name of the masechta, chagiga. That Hashem appreciates that. We don't just have to stand silently in front of Hashem. There's also times when Hashem wants us to be making noise and be the simcha and whatever in front of Him. So the Gemara says, Ki kon naicha nafshe de Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Many years later, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya was about to pass away, Omru le Rabbanan, my tehebi alon me apikursin. What's going to be with us with these apikursim and these minim? They're always trying to argue against us Jewish people and prove that their religion is the true one and use psukim and whatever and use logical arguments. Up until now, we had you who were always able to refute them. Now, what are we going to do after you pass away? Omalahem. So he tells them, don't worry. As the pasuk says, of the eitzimi bonim nisrucha chachmasam, eitzah, advice has been lost from the children. Their chachma has been spoiled, meaning kivin sha'avda eitzah mibanim, once eitzah is gone from the children, in other words, once the one who's able to give advice, meaning me, is gone from the Jewish people, nisrucha chachmasa and shav'o masa'olam, then the goyim's chachma is also going to be spoiled, and therefore they're not going to have the ability to come up with such good arguments anymore, because zelo masel, so the kim. So if I'm not available, then they're also not going to be able to come up with such great arguments anymore. The boy say mamehocha, or you have another pasuk that expresses the same idea. Esav says, by yemen nisav and elecha, he says to Yaakov, travel and let's go, ve'elcha l'negecha, and I will go parallel to you. So in other words, again, the idea is that Esav and Yaakov are always parallel. Hashem doesn't give them, and Hashem gives them koichus only in proportion to what Yaakov has, and therefore if Yaakov doesn't have Rabbi Yeshua anymore, then the Esav, the Goyim, the Christians are not going to have anything, are not going to have something of such high caliber of their own. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Ila have a solik bedaga debe Rabbi Bar Shila. Rabbi Ila was one time walking up the steps of the ladder of the house of Rabbi Bar Shila. He overheard a child saying, reading the following pasuk, Hashem creates the mountain, Hashem formed the mountains, and Hashem creates the wind. And he tells a person what he's talking about. Maloshin is casual conversation. Omar, so he was also, so this is a continuation of the Gemara as before, where the Chachamim are worried about the implication of different psukim, so he didn't cry about it, but Omar, but he said, Eved shel Rabbi Magid le'masichoi, when you have an Eved whose master tells him even the casual conversation that he has, is there any way of fixing him up? In other words, the Eved had better always watch his tongue. So the same way, the Pasuk is telling us that a Yid always has to watch his tongue, because Hashem is listening in to everything he's saying. So the Gemara says, my mas seichoi. What's this expression, seichoi, his conversation? So Omar Rav, afilu sichi yisera sheben ish leishtoi. Even if there's extra conversation between husband and wife, magidim lo la'odim b'shas misa, the person is told about it when he passed away and goes in front of the base of Jamaila, that he shouldn't have talked more than necessary with her. Al tabas sichi yema isha, like it says in Pirkei Avos. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? We have the example that's also in the Gemara in Brachas, where Rav Kahana was lying under Rav's bed because he wanted to overhear what Rav does when he's having relations, because he says over there, Torah hi v'luma dan itzorich, that even such a thing is that Tamad Chacham, that a tzaddik like Rav does is Torah, and he wants to learn from it proper behavior when a man is having relations with his wife. So of course he's not looking, that would be untheistic, but he's listening in. V'shame, and he hears him, desoch, that he's having a conversation with his wife, but Sochak, and he's laughing, but also Tzrachim, and he did his need. He had relations with her. Omar, and Rav Kahana says, Domi Pumi de Rav, command like Toyim le Tafshila. Rav's mouth is like he's acting like a person who never tasted the tavshil, who never tasted the dish. In other words, Rav is acting like somebody who this is a first for him, and he's so excited about it. You would think you're married for so many years, it's already you're not so excited about it, but you don't need the sicha and tzchoik and whatever. And Omalei and Rab tells him, Kahana, poi, Kahana, go out of there. Lab oirachara, it's not derecheret stick to be under there. And in the Gemara, in Brachos, Rav Kahana answers, Todehi v'lum adami tzarech. The point is that Rab himself is having a conversation with his wife in bed and laughing and joking with her. Didn't Rab just say that you're not supposed to do that? The answer is, like Kasha, kandit tzarech l'ratzuya, hodit tzarech, deloit tzarech l'ratzuya. It depends. If he needs to appease her, if he needs to get her in the mood because she's not, then it's an appropriate thing to talk and joke and whatever with her. If not, then not. In this case, Rav needed to get his wife in the mood, so therefore it was an appropriate thing to do. But Rav is saying, when he says, we're talking about where it's not necessary and a person stam has conversation with his wife without any particular benefit that it's going to bring. Then the pasuk is saying that Hashem is going to bring that up to him when he's judged in front of the Beis Din Shamayim. All right, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Everyone.
Yes, Shekayach.